The bond market just delivered an 18-month verdict on the Federal Reserve, and it's a rejection. Since September 2024, the Fed has cut rates by 175 basis points. Yet 10-year Treasury yields sit stubbornly at 4.3 to 4.5%, materially above their pre-cut levels. That's not noise. That's the bond market telling you something about fiscal dominance, inflation psychology, and sovereign credit risk that no Fed press conference can override. The broader fintech pattern here begins with what that bear steepener actually means for capital formation. Every discounted cash flow model in financial services, every infrastructure modernization program, every embedded lending platform, every core banking overhaul gets repriced when the long end refuses to come in. Bill Fleckenstein, speaking through Thoughtful Money, frames this as a structural constraint, not a cyclical blip. And the numbers back him up. U.S. federal debt service has crossed $1 trillion annually, representing roughly 17% of federal revenue. That threshold, historically, is where sovereign stress begins to register in institutional credit frameworks. Building on that, Darius Dale at 42 Macro is tracking nominal GDP running above 10% annualized on a three-month basis. To put that in context, the 4-5% nominal GDP corridor is what underpinned fintech valuation multiples across 2023 to 2025. We're now running more than double that corridor, with core PCE at 4.4% and headline CPI at 3.5%. Both are registering what Dale's framework classifies as strong positive impulses, well above target, with no near-term relief in sight. The CRB commodity index is up 15% year over year. Trailing 90-day annualized inflation hit 7.3%, the most acute short-term episode since 2022. More importantly, this inflation dynamic is now hitting household balance sheets in a way that matters directly to consumer fintech unit economics. Nominal wage growth at 3.6% against headline CPI of 3.8% means real wages have turned negative for the first time in approximately 3 years. Matthew Pippenberg at Von Grayers identified this as a 90 to 180-day leading indicator for consumer credit deterioration. Industry average credit card charge-off rates currently sit at 4.5 to 5.0%. Under a demand destruction scenario, Pippenberg's framework points towards 6 to 7%. For any consumer-facing fintech lending or payments platform, that's not a tail risk scenario to model. It's an operating assumption to build into your 2026 credit policy now. Looking at the regulatory landscape, the Fed's position is what Fleckenstein calls structurally compromised. The five-year forward inflation break-even is approaching the 2.8% warning threshold that Dale's sovereign debt monitoring framework flags, meaning markets, are pricing inflation persistence, not normalization. And here's the trap. A left-leaning FOMC confronting 10-plus percent nominal GDP growth has politically constrained room to hold rates, raising the probability of resumed hikes. But raising rates into a system carrying this much leverage is economically destabilizing, cutting risks, confirming fiscal dominance, and accelerating the bond sell-off. Tier 1 commercial banks averaged 3.1 to 3.3% net interest margin in Q1 2025, a figure supported by the bear steepener in the near term, but threatened by the credit quality deterioration it's quietly building toward. The New York Fed's reserve management purchases $40 billion monthly in Treasury bills, officially designated non-QE, represent what Pippenberg characterizes as backdoor liquidity provision. It suppresses long-end yield pressure temporarily. It does not resolve the underlying fiscal dynamic. The fiscal deficit is running approximately 5.2% of GDP. These are not the ingredients for a conventional easing cycle recovery. Now layer on the equity market structure risk, because this is where fintech valuation exposure converges with the macro picture in a very specific way. Lance Roberts, also via Thoughtful Money, has technology's proprietary relative performance score at 0.93 out of 1.00. That's near maximum technical extension. Technology and communications combined represent more than 40% of S&P 500 market cap weight. The arithmetic is straightforward and uncomfortable. A 10% technology sector drawdown contributes approximately 400 basis points of index-level decline. A 10% rally in energy, sitting at roughly 3% S&P weight, contributes 30 basis points of support. The asymmetry runs entirely in one direction. Roberts is calling for a price correction within a 60 to 90-day window, with semiconductors as the likely first domino. He's already taken partial profits on Alphabet and Microsoft, both acquired at the April 7th lows, and rotated into Raytheon Technologies and Eli Lilly. For fintech equity specifically, Dale's crowding model is generating a bearish NASDAQ signal at the 80th percentile positioning reading, with four of the top five positioning indicators breaching bubble peak means that reference January 2022, October 2007, and March 2000. Those are not obscure comparison points. A technically driven NASDAQ correction compresses the M&A currency advantage for publicly traded fintechs using stock as consideration and creates mark-to-market pressure on bank investment portfolios with fintech equity holdings. Visa at $550 billion market cap and MasterCard at $450 billion are NASDAQ 100 constituents. This is not an abstract technology sector problem. On the regulatory front, two domestic developments deserve direct attention. The CFPB's Section 1033 Personal Financial Data Rights Rule, finalized October 2024, has the largest depositories facing 2026 to 2027 compliance deadlines. Initial API buildout runs $2 to $5 million per institution, with 12 to 18-month implementation timelines. Institutions not yet in compliance preparation face cost premiums of 20 to 30% for accelerated delivery. That window is closing. Separately, FDIC enforcement actions against banking-as-a-service program banks Blue Ridge and Evolve Bank for BSA and AML deficiencies have raised active BaaS compliance costs by an estimated 30 to 50%. The new program economics require $500 million or more in facilitated deposits annually to justify enhanced compliance overhead. Below that threshold, the program math is likely negative. Set against these headwinds, the structural opportunity vector remains AI infrastructure financing. Hyperscaler CapEx. Microsoft at $80 billion, Google at $75 billion, Amazon at $75 billion, Meta guiding $65 billion for 2025, is generating $50 to $100 billion in construction lending, equipment leasing, and working capital financing needs. JP Morgan, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo are competing with direct lending funds for data center construction financing at individual facility costs of $5 to $20 billion, with current market pricing offering 200 to 250 basis points premium to comparable commercial real estate. That's a meaningful spread pickup in an environment where spread is hard to find. More structurally, the transition from generative to agentic AI, NVIDIA's Jensen Huang, has quantified this as 1,000% compute demand growth over 2 years, embeds financial services directly into autonomous workflow execution. The embedded finance market is projecting $7 trillion in total payment volume by 2026, a 25% compound annual growth rate from $2.6 trillion in 2024. The B2B segment alone currently represents $1.7 trillion of that base. Institutions architecting API infrastructure for agentic AI compatibility today are positioning for treasury management relationship revenue from the fastest-growing payment segment in the market. Anthropic's annualized revenue run rate reaching $4.4 billion in 2025 is one data point confirming that the AI infrastructure investment cycle is real and accelerating, even as recession probability on call sheet prediction markets has collapsed to 17% from 40% in March. Fintech thesis update for today: the macro regime has shifted in a way that demands a two-track institutional response. Track one is defensive model consumer credit deterioration into your 2026 underwriting assumptions, stress test discount rates at 5.5 to 6.5% on infrastructure programs, accelerate Section 1033 compliance timelines before cost premiums compound, and review fintech equity exposure relative to NASDAQ concentration risk. Track two is offensive. The AI infrastructure lending opportunity is real, it's pricing attractively, and it's large enough to absorb meaningful balance sheet allocation. The embedded finance architecture buildout is happening now, and the institutions that own the API rails when agentic AI deployment scales will own the treasury relationship revenue that follows. The bear steepener creates the headwind. the AI supercycle creates the through line. Both are in play simultaneously, and navigating the tension between them is the defining strategic challenge of 2026. Thank you for listening. That's your FinTech Macro Briefing for today. Watching the rails until tomorrow. That's your CEO Brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.